Hey, hey, if you're hearing that music, then you know this is our classical Fifth Monday edition of Spiritual Perspectives. That's right, Spiritual Perspectives, originating from our flagship station KEST in San Francisco, simulcast and archived on ifidknownthen.com. This is Spiritual Perspectives, talking about real life from, well, a spiritual perspective. I'm Scout Bartlett. I'll be your host as we talk with our special guest today. This is probably a completely unique experience on a Spiritual Perspectives program. Our guest today always wanted to help people overcome injustices, and that led to a first career as an international attorney. Yep, I'm betting this might be the first lawyer we've talked to on this show. He says, I loved the law, and I bought my first legal textbook when I was 11 years old. That was my favorite bedtime reading. Naturally, I became a lawyer specializing in litigation. But after a while, our guest noticed that lawyering was lacking a spiritual dimension. So everybody, this is going to be a fabulous conversation. I would like to introduce you to, I'm going to say it badly first, and then I'll say it how he gave me permission, but I'd like to introduce you to Alexandre Fischer, or Alex Fischer, as he's told me I can call him today. Everybody, this is Alex. Alex, this is everybody.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Scout.
Fabulous. Isn't it nice we got them all together all at once?
Perfect.
So there's a place where, first I'm just going to ask this question. I started in an engineering career and then spirituality took over my life and took me in an entirely different direction, which was more than a tiny bit difficult for my father to understand. There were several years of, well, have you found a job yet? Mm-hmm. How on earth did you move that gear shift to step out of a career level of litigation as an international attorney and into full-time practice as a Christian Science practitioner?
Well, that's a good question. And many of my friends did not understand at first when I just announced it. And when I spoke to them more, then they understood. And the idea is that lies behind my motive in becoming a lawyer. And my motive was not to make money or be famous. My motive was really to help others. And at the same time, I was studying the, I could help people in a much deeper way. So naturally, it was for me to go with the thing that works the best. So gradually, I it was not overnight, but I took a few steps and into the really using this method full time.
Mm-hmm. Because you have that lawyer background where things are tested and gauged and they have to work and there's a continuity about it and so forth, I've run into this because I have an engineering background, but one of the books you base your work out of is called Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures, written by Mary Baker Eddy. I'd really like to hear you talk about the word science in that sentence, since you've got a background where you really look at, do things do what they say they do?
Yeah, and when I first got the book in my hand, I was not too sure about it, and it'd been in my family for a while, and I knew for sure that I did not want anything to do with dogmas, or I would say frozen thought, where you have to accept concepts. And but that book is highly spiritual, but that's, as you said, Scout, it's all about understanding ideas. And what's interesting is concepts in the book sometimes are explained in all types of different ways so we can get it. So the whole idea is really to understand, but it's not about just understanding as a in a philosophy, the understanding leads to practical results. It is important to understand so we can apply the concepts and see the good they bring to our life.
And that has to have been a key for you as to whether or not what you were looking at as concepts, whether or not they held water, whether or not they held up, or if they were just some cute thought that somebody could have. What really turned the corner for you in terms of recognizing, I mean, to me, the word science means replicatable, whatever that word would be, the ability to bring the same result, to replicate the result. What kind of a corner did you turn on that, Alex, to really recognize this as not just a set of nice thoughts, but really a measurable and recognizable, repeatable experience?
Yeah, the more I was studying, the more I was meeting people who were practicing it, and people would share healings of disease that were, where the doctors said they could not do anything about it, and they said they've been healed, and not just one time, two times, but many times, or other were describing family situations where they had applied the ideas in the book, and they explained how everything got resolved, quickly sometimes, not so quickly, but, and as I was gathering those testimonies and, I would say, witnesses, then that's where my thought turned. I say, well, really, I can help with my law books, and to a degree I was helping, but wow, this is much, much deeper, and it goes much deeper. And then I began to have my own healings, and were some very modest at first, but then that confirmed that those ideas were practical and could be applied by really by anyone, and I was the first patient in a way.
Good to be your own test case. Is there any of those healings of yourself that are public enough that you could share, Alex?
Yeah, and I think we have under an hour, because if I share, I would share like for hours and hours and hours.
Wow.
But maybe one healing that was interesting to me was that I had a growth on the leg, and I was doing my best to apply those concepts and just to find a sense of peace and to find healing, and I can explain more a bit later how I prayed. And but at the same time, I was with family members who were not interested in this approach, and at one point, one of them really urged me to see a doctor and say, well, you cannot stay like this, and I had a hard time walking because of the growth. So I had to go see a doctor for a compulsory medical appointment for my children. So, like, every year they have to go through a doctor appointment. So I said, well, to be kind to this family member, I said, well, I'll go to the doctor and for the kids, and I'll show the doctor the growth. And I'm not sure it was a great idea, because so I went to the appointment and I showed it to the doctor, and she literally she yelled. She said, wow, and what is it? And so she said that it was too late to treat with local antibiotics. So I had to take oral antibiotics, so I was pretty scared. And in a way, I had some doubts, because up to that point, I really felt that my thought was shifting. I felt a bigger sense of peace. I was not focusing on the symptoms too much, but I felt better in a way. But after this doctor's appointment, I felt helpless. I felt, my gosh, this is bad. And so I went home, and I knew this family member would be back soon, and so I would have to make a decision. And so the first thing I thought is that all choices are on the table. I know that this spiritual approach is complete in itself and does heal, as I had heard and seen and read, but I could take the pill if I wanted to. There was just, all choices were on the table. And I remember thinking about all the healings, and then I felt, well, no, there is something I can press on with this approach. And the other thing that really, I would say, fortified me is that I had come to understand that symptoms, it's true for things on the body or any disharmony in our life, symptoms are really linked to our state of thought. And I was thinking, even if I take those pills, they won't bring more peace. They won't bring more joy. It won't really touch my thought. So I decided to continue, and I called a Christian science practitioner, someone who devotes his or her life really to help others through this method. And within a week, I would say, first, really the fear disappeared from my thought. The fear disappeared from my thought, and a sense of peace became stronger. And by the end of the week, I had a baseball game, because I played baseball in France, and I was running all around, and the growth was gone, and there was no trace, and it never came back again. And that was the full healing. And And so to me, that was a landmark healing. And as I said, there were many others, but that one was very interesting to me, just to show many things, the impact of thought and body, the sense of stronger sense of God is good, and many, many other lessons.
There's a place I want to jump in there for just a second, Alex, because I run into it here in the States frequently in articles and conversations, people having the impression that if one is a Christian Scientist or if one goes to a Christian Science church, that there's somebody or some rule in the church that then says, well, if you're one of us, you are not allowed to go to a doctor. However, if you go to a doctor, you're now expelled and you can't be one of us. Could you just speak to that a little bit just for everybody that doesn't know?
Yeah, and I think we could write a book on misconceptions. And the key thing is the idea of choice. And I don't know if the image works, but it's as if you have an electric car or a car with oil or gas, you're not going to put gas in the electric car. The electric car works on its own, but you're absolutely free to take whatever car you want. And so I think the idea of choice is the key thing. Is, as I said, you can really choose to do whatever you want to do. And in my case, I chose, as you said, because I saw the result. I saw the healings, and so that, and not just the physical healing. I saw the sense of peace that came with it. So that's why I stick to it.
Sense of peace. A little earlier, you mentioned working with people that I always like to point out that healing should not be reserved for disease. And you made a reference a little earlier, Alex, about whether one was looking at symptoms or disharmony or discord, and it's all linked to a state of thought. So when you've seen healings, they've not just been that healing works for a physical body. Where else do you see that this expanded sense of peace ends up transforming or changing disharmony?
Yeah, it does. It's a really good question. It does change everything in our experience. Anything that is discordant in our experience can be, I would say, changed for the better. And it is really a shortcut statement. To me, we have to talk a tiny bit about what prayer is and how prayer works.
Yes, please.
And then
I always want to know about that.
That sense of prayer, that prayer can change things that appear that are negative in our experience.
So
and if
when,
I was to
when
define
you're doing, when
prayer,
you're doing,
I would say that prayer is really a change in consciousness. It is not so much words. It's really a change in consciousness where suddenly our perception of a situation changes for the better. In a nutshell, that's what I could say.
When you go to pray, Alex, how do you do it, and how do you know when you got there?
Well, the sense of prayer really relies on a sense of God. And what I find I see fantastic with this spirituality is that it is very precise, very scientific, and so each word needs to be understood in a very clear way. And the term God, for example, can mean many things to many people. In that, in this context, when I talk about the term God, it's really about infinite good or infinite love. It's nothing corporeal. It is completely infinite. It's a sense of divine presence, and that's the sense of God. And I would say that prayer is that spiritual sense that connects us with the infinite, that connects us with that sense of God, and that connection changes our consciousness, and then good results will appear.
All right, you're going to have fun with this one. Why can a physical thing, like a growth on your leg, why can that physical reality get changed by you connecting with an infinite good and an infinite love? I know that's it's a trick question, but go for it.
Oh, I was hoping you would ask. To me, if you look at, there are two things. The Christian Science, or that spirituality, is not a little club or a little something on a mountain that some people have and others don't. The underlying idea is that we're talking about an understanding of reality that is absolutely universal. Just like when one sees the moon, everyone sees the moon. No one owns the moon. No one owns that reality. So if that's the case, it means that, yes, that textbook, Science and Health with the Scriptures, explains clearly that vision of the world, that method. But others would have seen some parts of it, or we should find some elements in other areas of life. And that leads me to, for example, quantum physics, and which is the physics of things that are very, very small. And when you look into it, it's really mind-boggling, because it does break our sense of what reality is. And you may think now, well, Alex, get to the point. What does quantum physics have to do with the sense of consciousness and the growth on the leg? Well, it has everything to do, because if you take one experiment, everyone or many people think right now that basically our experience is entirely physical, and I'm here and you're over there, and there's two physical situations. Well, when we look at the physics of things very, very small, quantum physics, many experiments show, and there's one that is called the double slit experiment, and you could look it up, it's really interesting, where physical scientists, see that there is a relationship between the thing that is being observed, a small piece, wave, particle of matter, and the people looking at it, and there's an interaction between the two, and suddenly the frontier between what is physical and what is consciousness becomes a bit more blurry. And Christian science pushes it to say, well, actually, all is consciousness. What feels like a physical reality is really a mode of consciousness. And we could go on this, but it explains a tiny bit of how something of a mental nature, prayer, does create a change of consciousness, and that change of consciousness change our experience, because actually our experience is also consciousness, also a state of thought.
Perfect.
And if I may share another example that
yes,
I found really helpful, it was published a few years ago in a medical magazine. It's the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was a study with people having knee trouble. And it was more than a trouble, because they had a hard time walking, so they needed a surgical operation to get better. And the patients agreed to the experience, and the experience was that some people would get the actual knee surgery, while the others would only get a fake surgery, meaning that they would go through the room, they would get anesthesia, and the surgeon would get through all the motion of surgery, would even make a little incision in the knee, but without any medical treatment. And so they would appear to have gone through surgery, and in the group, none would know which one was getting the real knee surgery and which one was not getting it. And what I found really interesting in terms of seeing how thoughts impact our environment, how thoughts impact what we call the body, is that in this published experiment, they set up some measurements afterwards to see what was the effect of the knee surgery and the fake surgery. So they had people climb upstairs, different steps. They had people report on pain. And what they found after 6 months, a year, 18 months, is that the majority of the entire group, those who got the real surgery and those who got the fake surgery, reported less pain and were able to walk those steps much faster than they did before the surgery. The thing is that some of them didn't get any surgery, so they didn't get any surgery, still they got much better. So to me, to ask a question, if surgery did not help them, then what helped them? And to me, the Christian science helps us understand that, of course, it is their expectation, the thought that they would get better. That's the thought was made manifest in the experience and on their body.
Fabulous. Yeah, I often ponder the fact that I'll see when I'm reading medical stuff and write-ups, and they'll talk about, after excluding for the placebo effect, we've now recognized that this did this or this did that. And my whole notion is, well, then why did you go study the pill? Why didn't you study the placebo effect? That seems like that's more powerful.
Yeah. And the key idea is that, because I think that's interesting, but again, it's a very specific practice. It is not just about positive thinking. So just think, yes, oh, I'll get better. That's not what happened when I got this growth on the leg or other situation. It's not about us willfully trying to get ourselves better. It has a divine component, and we can feel it's divine because of a gigantic sense of peace really washes over our thought, and that's when we have this connection to the infinite. And when suddenly we feel that we're not alone, we feel that we are connected to this infinite God, good, and that's what brings the change in thought. So it's never a human effort. That the story I shared is just to illustrate that no, our body is not distinct from our thought. It's the opposite, that we can see around us our state of thought.
When you describe connected to, Alex, do you end up feeling that, like I could imagine, and this is a weak analogy, but I could imagine that if I were sitting across the aisle from a friend on an airplane and we reached out and held hands, I could feel connected to. But I'm wondering if when you're describing being connected to God as infinite good and love, do you feel connected to like holding hands across the aisle, or do you feel connected to like you're merged into that expansive state?
Yeah, well, I think we could ask the question to the woman who brought about Christian Science, and her name was Mary Bicciardi, and I would say she started like you and me, and with tons of questions and questioning the theology of her time, but then she got really sick, and she had an experience where she felt she would not make it, and then she felt this sense of connection, but at first she couldn't even put words on it, and to her it was really a sense of losing self to really be at one with the infinite, a bit like a figure four or five or figure six is at one with the principle of mathematics. It's not a sense of isolation, it's a sense of belonging, of being part of something, and so she will be fully healed, and that healing will help us and will help her trying to understand what happened, and in the end she will write that book. But at first it was deeply felt; she could not put words on it. So I think it's a unique experience for each one of us that I think is deeper than the reaching the hand across the aisle in an airplane. But it is something beautiful.
I love that description, losing self to be at one with the infinite. That's just a beautiful, beautiful word picture. I want to jump to a different place, and I don't know if we can do this, because I don't want to get into details that are none of my business, and clearly we're not wanting to take the whole thing apart, but you've emphasized a couple of times that this is a practice that can be practiced in a systematic way, that the practices as laid out by Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health and Keys to the Scriptures, and the practices as followed by people who are following a Christian Science direction, that it's a systematic way. So if I were going to get a framework or bullet points of what the steps were, say in the example you had of the growth on your leg, we would start with, wow, this is a drag, and this is impairing my well-being, and it doesn't look good. What would you say were the steps between that and when it's like, wow, I'm out playing baseball, and I sort of forgot I ever had a growth on my leg because it's, oh, gosh, it's not there anymore?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, I think we can go back to what Jesus said, and Jesus is Jesus' teachings, everything he said, in a way, could be interpreted in many, many ways, and there are many interpretations, but there is one way to look at all his teaching as a coherent whole, and that's what Christian Science is all about. That's the Christian aspect of it. And when Jesus is asked about, well, how do you pray? Because the people say, well, we see all those healings, but how do you pray? And his first words are, well, in a way, stay spontaneous, because he says prayer is not about repeating words. It's about really staying spontaneous. And still there's a structure, there's a method. And so I think this is something that unfolds for each person reading the book and to make it in with their own, to make it in a way that works for them. But still, I think you can see an overall structure that you could outline. And to me, the first thing is to address fear and thoughts, and to go after fear even before the symptoms. And if I can share an example, in my practice, one day, one afternoon, a lady called me, and she said, "Well, I know nothing about Christian Science. A friend told me to call you, and so I hope you can help or do something." And so she explained that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, but she also explained that she didn't like chemical stuff. She loved nature, and so she felt she could be healed spiritually. And so she did not know how, but she said, "Well, can you help? Can you do something?" So I had to pray with her. So I agreed to pray for her. And the first step, you talk about steps, Cal, the first step was really to go after fear. So she described briefly the symptoms, and she asked if I wanted more. I said, "Well, I don't need more symptoms, because all we need is thoughts." And so then my first steps were really to reassure her that she was not guilty of anything, that she was not being punished, that she was, her innocence was absolutely intact beyond the appearance. So that's why I verbalized to her. But then when I got to pray on my own, that was the very first thing, to really make sure that I would not entertain any sense of fear that it could be a dangerous case or something difficult to heal, to have a sense of peace replacing the sense of fear. So that's I'd never continue praying as I still have a sense of fear. And that's what happened with the healing of the growth, where my sense of fear disappeared. And it was not a healing. It was the first step to get over the fear.
Got it.
And the second aspect of the structure, not really a step, but of the structure is, and we can go back to Jesus again, when Jesus says, you say, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And again, that's in the context of many healings being done by Jesus, and him saying that we could heal as he did. And he says, "You will know the truth, you will know reality," and that understanding will create a change of consciousness, and that will heal. But the key idea is not about self. It's not about me trying to heal this woman with cancer, or me trying to heal the growth. It's about more yielding. So it's about letting self aside to really be more aware of our connection to God. So sometimes self gets in the way. So the other aspect of that structure is to make sure it's not about self. It's about being aware of what is, being aware of God in our life.
And so, another
aspect of the structure would be that, and maybe I can explain a bit more, because it could be confusing without further explanation, is that prayer is never about fixing something. It's really not about fixing. So you may say, "Well, I don't understand now, because obviously this woman came to be helped. And so, of course, something's going to fix her in some way." But when we pray, it's not about, the intent is never to fix something. It's to be more aware of God in our life, to be more aware of good. And there's a very specific reason for that, which is that if we go back to the basics, which is that we basically leave our state of consciousness. So the more we are aware of good, the more we are aware of God, the more we find, almost as a reflective mechanism, the more we find harmony in our life, the more we find good in our life. So what fills my thoughts, I seem to live, I seem to experience. So I can see that if, when I pray, to go back to this step of structure, if when I pray my intent is to fix something, it means that I'm still holding in thought to a problem that I need to fix in either medically or spiritually or somewhere, that I'm still holding on to the problem, where actually the idea is to let go to yield to a sense of divine presence, to yield to a sense of God, to let go of the sense of the problem. And so the intent is never to fix, it's really to actually discover reality, to discover the good that is already present. And it's not about fixing. And to me, that was something I learned that was very, very helpful.
To yield to the sense of divine presence as opposed to holding on to the problem. I love that. I want to break away for just a second because there's some people I want to thank, Alex, really quick. I want to give a huge thanks out to the First Church of Christ Scientist in Mill Valley and a coordinated sponsorship for Spiritual Perspectives across a board of 50 churches that coordinate to sponsor this program. You can look for more information on spirituality.com and also christianscience.com. But the members of First Church Christ Science in Mill Valley invite you to check out a Christian Science service anywhere. You won't be attacked. You won't be rolled under. In fact, there won't even be anybody telling you how to think. They'll just be exploring thoughts. They invite you to join in on a Sunday service, a Wednesday evening service, or even just wander into a reading room. I've tested this. The only thing that's ever happened when I wandered into a reading room was somebody very gently said, if there's anything I could show you, let me know where it is. Nobody tried to force me into a belief system or make me have to do anything. And there's exactly as Alex said earlier, it's about choice all the way through. So let's identify our station and then we'll be right back. Hey, you're listening to our regular fifth Monday event of Spiritual Perspectives. Spiritual Perspectives broadcasting on KEST in San Francisco, but you can find it archived on ifidknownthen.com. Drop in there and you can listen to other events or you can re-listen to this one. This Spiritual Perspectives program is here to talk about real life from a spiritual perspective and to give you an introduction to a set of ideas so that you'll know where you could look for more of that if you like it. Our guest today is Alex Fischer, or Alexandre Fischer, speaking to us live from Paris, if I'm correct. And Alex is a full-time spiritual healer using the structures and information from Science and Health with Keys to the Scriptures, the primary books of the primary books of Christian Science as written by Mary Baker Eddy. Alex, welcome back.
Oh, thank you.
So we were just talking about that when one is praying for healing within the structure and practice that you've found a tremendous amount of success with, that we're not praying for, oh, please make this injury go away. But instead, I'm going to use this phrase, and I want you to fix it if I got it wrong. We're seeking to rise above the focus in the injury and return to a deep sense of connectedness with an infinite good. Did that work?
Perfect. You should be the guest.
Thanks. That was fun. Cool. So you actually do whole workshop trainings on the whole awareness of how spiritual perception brings healing, which is kind of cute with the Spiritual Perspectives show. But yeah. Spiritual perception, and you emphasize that word perception, Alex. I'm getting it as the undercurrent, but how else would you talk to people that hadn't been inside this practice or haven't seen things change from a worrisome reality to a non-worrisome reality? How would you emphasize that word perception?
Well, perception does set out what we seem to see in everyday life and what actually is. And if... before the pause, the break, I was sharing this experience with this woman who said that she had breast cancer and that she wanted to find a spiritual approach to find peace and possibly healing. And so I shared about the structure of prayer. But at one point, this woman said that she had a stronger sense of peace. But at one point, I remember she said, "But am I not denying reality? Because the symptoms seems very real to me." And so she was a bit of a confused and said, well, in a way she was asking, what is reality? Because she understood there was more to it. And so the idea of perception, and that's what she did, was yes, we don't accept as a fact anything wrong in our life. We know that we can go beyond it. So perception is really to go beyond what appears to be wrong in our experience to find a brighter reality. And that's not wishful thinking. It's really about finding God, basically. God is infinite. So our stronger sense of God, our spiritual sense of God, is that spiritual perception that really lifts us out of a sense of despair or darkness, and as was the case for this woman. And what was very interesting with this woman is we never really discussed the symptoms. She called me a few times, and she would study on her own. But what was interesting is I could see progress taking place in her thoughts. When she first contacted me, she said that she didn't like religion, but she was okay with spirituality. And as we were talking, she reported from time to time how her sense of God was becoming more real, not God as any person, but a sense of this principle, this infinite good, that was getting clearer and clearer in her thought. And it was really fun for me to see how her thought was changing gradually, contact after contact. And one day I learned that she felt no more pain, and then the lump in the breast was completely gone, and it's been years now, and she was completely well, completely healed. But what did it was that she was not focusing neither on her fear or the symptoms. She was really focusing on basically having God make sense to her. And in that case, she didn't like using the term God, because even if she understood that God was not some person somewhere, so she liked the idea of her source, that the source of her being, her life with a capital L, that was really meaningful to her. And that's what she found, and that's how she found healing.
Sweet. So I'm going to loop back because I really liked this. We're not talking about God coming in and taking on the challenge of a damaged part of body and then making that body well. What you said was what we seem to see and what actually is. Talk to me about what actually is and why we think what we see is actually.
Yeah, I'll go back to really having this spirituality being universal. And those are really deep questions. And I was talking recently to an astrophysicist, and he said, well, we can live without asking those questions. That's okay, as much as we can live and believe that the Earth is flat. That's okay. We can still do our shopping and pick up our kids to school. That's okay. But those deep questions do impact our lives at a deeper level. And there was an article published very recently in another medical magazine called The Lancet. It's a British neurology newspaper. And the scientists asked that very question, and they say, well, what is real? And they say, is what we see actually what is, or is it just a phenomenon in the brain? They asked the question, and I quote, and they said, is life just a dream? And that's something that is sometimes misunderstood with Christian science, the idea of reality or illusion, because the misunderstanding says, well, Christian science says that disease is not real or evil doesn't exist, but that's a misrepresentation. What it says, what it teaches, is that what we can learn is that what seems to be wrong in our life is always a misunderstanding, a misconception about true reality, which is this infinite God, this infinite good. And that has to do with our relationship to this infinite, that we're not just a pack of 70% of water and potassium and other stuff, that our deep identity is spiritual and is made of divine elements, divine qualities. All the good we express, all the joy, the sense of agency, the sense of love, that has a source, and that source is not a molecule. That source is this infinite good, this infinite love. And that's what we discover as the reality. And each healing, whether it's about a physical thing or something going on in our life that is not right, each healing explains and shows us a tiny bit more of that reality that goes beyond what the senses present to us.
Expand out, because what you just tossed a beautiful thing that I didn't want to miss. Each healing, whether it's about a physical thing or something else, can you expand on that, Alex? Because I know it's really easy to, again, what's real and what's not. It's real easy to get for people to get into the notion of that healing is basically to be reserved for disease. In fact, I think a lot of Western medicine is based on that. But each healing, whether it's about a physical thing or something else, it sounds overly simplistic, but I just want to hand off, what all can we recognize as being something that we think is wrong in our life? What all kinds of misunderstandings can we heal by getting rid of the misunderstanding?
Yeah, and again, I think we can go back to Jesus, and to me, the question is really the nature of evil. What is evil? And when Jesus talked about evil, he didn't say, and when I use the term evil, to me, the evil includes losing your job, includes depression, includes disease, includes a sense of lack of worth. It's any evil in our life. And when Jesus talked about evil, he didn't say evil is this big spooky thing and I'll help you out to kick it out. No, he talked specifically about evil as being a lie and the father of a lie. And a lie, and everyone knows what a lie is. A lie is something that seems to be and is not. And as long as we accept it, a lie, as true, well, that lie becomes true to us. But the minute that we recognize it is just a lie, an appearance, and we go beyond, then the evil disappears from our thought and therefore from our experience. And I have a good friend who had a very interesting experience when she was at work. It was several years ago, before legislation on sexual harassment and those type of things were on, and she was at work, and she was very excited because she was working for a consulting firm on employment and career, and she was to work directly with the owner of the firm. So she was excited about that, and she would learn a lot. But as we dirty jokes were thrown, and the boss was having some behavior that were not really appropriate, nothing gigantic, but many things that made her feel very uncomfortable. And she knew about Christian Science, so she decided to pray about it, to really have a spiritual perspective on that situation. And she recalls very clearly that the ideas that came to her, it was her sense of innocence, her own sense of innocence, that she was not responsible for the situation. It was just a sense of her own purity, I would say. And so with that, she went back to work. But things became worse and worse, and the boss would always sit next to her in meetings and trying to touch her knee, just without really making it so obvious, but with his knee, he would squeeze by her, and just it was all types of stuff, and to the point where she could not take it anymore. And so she again, it was before those times where society had an awareness of sexual harassment and those things, so she was confused. She didn't know what to do, and she felt she would quit probably. She didn't feel she could confront or face the boss. She was confused, so she went home that night, and but she gave prayer a last try, and so she prayed, and she tried to apply those ideas the best she could, and she said at that one point an idea really struck her thought, and it was not her thinking, it was just feeling as if like an airplane landing on her thought, and I wrote it down because I felt it was nice, and she says she realized that she did not have a corner on the market of purity and safety, that she was not she didn't have any ownership on purity. And what it means that suddenly she realized, and we can go back to what we're talking about consciousness, she realized that she had been praying for herself while still admitting and entertaining in thought the idea that there could be out there this evil man doing evil stuff to her. So she was praying, but what was happening in her thought was that that evil man was still present in her thought. So with this idea of realizing that she did not have the corner on purity, she realized that she had to go beyond the circumstance. She had to see his true nature, see his true identity, and have a perception of his purity too. And you may say, well, the guy was clearly not pure, but that's the point. Evil always seems in our face, and the idea is to go beyond it, and it starts in thought. So she really diligently opened her thought to seeing that any man has purity, expresses purity, and this man was a victim of that false sense of on women. And she said that she, and to me that's the sign of a change in consciousness, she felt a great sense of peace. A great sense of peace. So then she felt she could go back to the office. It was not a matter of quitting or not quitting. She just felt peaceful, and she said for a few days that the atmosphere was much more relaxed. But then, to me, the really astonishing thing happened a few weeks after when the boss left the firm and to go to a big symposium on leadership and management, and then came back after this symposium and called a staff meeting to share the ideas he had learned and that could benefit the staff and the firm. And he shared a few ideas, and the first thing that my friend noticed is that the boss was talking about women speakers at a symposium in a very respectful way and sharing ideas of what they were saying without making any of his usual bad comments on women. And then at the break, my friend overheard the boss saying to the colleague with whom he was usually sharing dirty jokes, saying how it dawned on him after one woman was speaking that he had been listening to her for a long, long time without even thinking of her sexually. He was just seeing that this woman had ideas, and actually that woman they had been wrestling with for many years and held him, and he said something to the effect that he could see that seeing women on their true light without not as sexual objects was really positive in his life and good for him and good for the firm. And that was the end of it. No more harassment. My friend worked more in that firm, and there was just the behavior completely changed. And you could say, you could say that it happened on its own, or maybe the guy had an idea suddenly, but really, because that example is one of many, many examples, this is what happened when there's a change of thought. And when my friend had been praying the first time, she was praying about herself, but she forgot that she could not entertain any sense of evil in her thoughts, evil as I have defined it. But the second time she prayed, then it was much more universal, and she really cleared her thought or yielded to a higher sense so that her thought were completely free to see the situation, I would say, under a divine light, the situation as good, pure. And that created a change of thought, and that changed the experience in a quite dramatic way because, again, she it was the end of it for everyone. It was a completely change of behavior just after that.
Yeah. One would have to honor the coincidence of that. There's a place where I watch people who are seekers of many kinds, and they're studying their spirituality, and I watch people fall into something that I think of as a trap, but you kind of brushed across it as well, where I'll hear people who are following spiritual paths talking to their friend, and they'll say things like, "What do you think you did that made you get sick? What do you think there was about you that made you get cancer? What do you think you did wrong that you would need to fix to get to have not gotten sick?" And you've referenced many times sort of going back to that purity, but can you talk on that a little bit, Alex?
Yeah, it's very important. And to me, it was illustrated in the in one of the examples of the lady I shared about the cancer.
Yes.
Is that and it's very, very important, is to realize that what we seem to experience is just a state of thought or just a state of consciousness helps us address challenges. Because instead of trying to fight the symptoms or trying to change people's behavior. We know we can just address it through prayer, and that will have an impact. But it does not mean that if a guy in France robs a bank and I think about it, then because I thought about it, I'm responsible in some way because the guy robbed the bank, that we're absolutely innocent. And that was a key point with this woman, is that we don't create evil, knowing that our state of thought, we experience our state of consciousness, doesn't mean that we create evil. It's a mean to really eradicate evil wherever it presents itself. And the next question is, well, where does evil come from? And we know what Jesus said about it. It's a lie. And but still, you say, well, maybe it's a lie, but still, my brother-in-law is a kind man. He is sick, and this other guy across the street is not kind. He's not sick. So, well, to me, the best thing I can say is that it seems to be the pattern of human life, where some people are born in some places very wealthy, other people are born in more difficult situations. But again, it's not about what happens to us. It's about how we deal with it. And I found that Christian Science helps us deal with anything that comes our way, whether it's something that appears in our body or a situation or a family conflict or a financial situation, that it gives us the tools to address it successfully through a better understanding of God.
Sweet. I have to say that it's notable to me, and so I want to make sure the listeners catch it also, that your ability to, I'll say, project what you're seeing in your mind, in addition to wrap your words around it, is spectacular. I'm getting the whole picture of that. So at this point, actually, that's the question I want. If somebody has, I'll call it an old wound, inflicted by something that was called church, what would you say to them about the possibilities of the thing that's called Christian Science?
So if someone is not happy about church?
If early in their life, church ended up being an evil influence in their life, or left them scarred or wounded to where they would never want to be affiliated. Well, like the woman you were speaking of, she didn't like church per se, although you used the word religion. What would you say to them about the option of Christian Science if they don't want to replicate anything they ever experienced in a church that really attacked them?
Yeah, I know it's the right time to make sense of humors, but I would say, well, then go to church. Go to church. I mean this because Mary Bicciardi did not think that organizations were helpful, and what she found was really this teaching, this method, and then she had to create some form of organization so that it can be kept. But it's the church in Christian Science is all about growing together at our own path, but without anyone pushing us on the left or on the right. We just grow, and it's all about discovering freedom. In a way, is that we sometimes don't feel free in many ways. Well, church is about being together and becoming free. So there is no one to tell us what to do or what to think. It's about discovering our freedom together. That's what church is all about.
So if I walk into if one walks into a Christian Science church, there's no person up at the front behind a big thing telling them they're right or wrong, or telling one how they have to think, or that they're wrong in how they think.
Yeah, the book Science and Ethics gives the Scriptures as this big statement. It says the time for thinkers has come, which to me means, hey guys, we all have an amazing connection with God, and we can discover this on our own. So, of course, the church reflects this. So there is a guy on the podium who is elected to read some passages, but it's entirely democratic. So it's all those guys together filling positions democratically. But the main point of church is for us to understand more our connection to the infinite. And that just, I would say, a love relationship between us and God, and there is no one that's going to mess up with that relationship. So Church helps bring freedom, but it's not, as you said, there is no priest that will tell us everything. Everyone will be helpful, but we're still on our own figuring out this amazing relationship.
Okay, so I know that you've cranked out nearly half a dozen kids, which means that you're raising an interesting troop of little people. What do you do with it? You know, because families, you got that many people in a household, there's going to be places where there's stress. What do you do with that?
With stress. Yeah, I think we need another hour. But just to the key idea, it's true about life. Whether we have like many children, it's my case, or super stressful work, it's about who's in charge. And is this me, a little guy with his Christian Science trying to solve things, or is this about yielding and knowing that there is a principal in charge right now, and our job is just to know what is responsible and to really yield to this sense of a principal, an infinite good God that really is in charge. So it's all about yielding. It's not about doing more. So when I feel stressed with the kids or something else, it's a time to pause, to reflect, and in a way to do what Jesus said when he said God is Father. It was just pointing out to the fact that he's in charge. Don't worry, guy. Just let go. Let go of it. Let go. Yield. And amazing things happen. And things come back to order. There's a bigger sense of peace and joy, and we move forward. And sometimes we stumble. Sometimes it's not as easy, but it's like a science. You sometimes break a glass when you study chemistry. Well, that's the same thing. But each time you learn something, especially if you break a big glass, you learn something. So it's all about learning and having fun as you learn and witnessing all those healings and all those situations being resolved in really, really great ways.
I'm going to have an entirely different experience every time I'm driving and I see a yield sign for the next few months. I can tell that already.
Yeah.
Alex, this has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much. I want to let folks know you can find more about Alexandre if you look up AlexAndreFischer. You'll find him CS. You can find recordings of his workshops. Personally, I appreciate having had this chance to have your attention and talk to you for an hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. That was amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. And this is Spiritual Perspectives. You can look for us the fifth Friday. It will be archived up on ifidknownthen.com under Radio Archives, Spiritual Perspectives. This is Scott Bartlett thanking you for joining us and looking forward to the next time we get to talk.